It's good to see everybody this morning. If you'll turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter number 3. If you'd like to, you can look at Matthew 28. We're also going to go there. We're going to go a few places this morning. Since we're having a baptism this morning, it seemed like a good opportunity to preach on baptism. All right, Matthew chapter number 3, turn to verse number 13. And if you'll stand for the reading. The Bible says, "Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering and said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. And then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Let us pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I remember reading about a very large church, you know, Independent Baptist. They've had some large churches before. Jack Hiles, he was one of the big preachers. And up in Hammond, Indiana, had a very large church. And I was reading somebody that was in the bus ministry there. And, you know, one of the things about the Hiles Church up there in Hammond, Indiana, was they had the bus ministry going, and the buses would go out into the neighborhoods. You almost can't do that nowadays. But they'd go into the neighborhoods and the stop and get the kids and the bus drivers. That was their ministry. And they would get kids on the bus, and they'd have little games for it or whatever, or they would have prizes, and they would keep track of who was toting how many people. And it was a big operation to get people in. And a lot of those times they would have baptisms that would take place, and there would be hundreds of kids that would get baptized. And there was a bus driver, you know, he was asking kids, he said, would you like to be baptized? And he said, no. And he said, well, why not? And he said, well, I was baptized last week. And the thing is, we can get so caught up in doing things for God, we might forget why we do them. You know, the baptism, it's a joyous time. When someone accepts Jesus Christ, it's a joyous time to see some people get baptized. But why do we do it as Christians? And here we have Jesus going down into the water. John the Baptist is baptizing sinners. His baptism was called the baptism of repentance. He was calling for them all to repent. You look in verse number 2 of chapter number 3. Verse number 1, it says, "In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then he goes on, For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Pray ye, or prepare ye the way of the Lord, and make his path straight." It describes John. In verse number 7, "But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism," now this was the religious crowd. This was the crowd that the people looked up to. The Pharisees and the Sadducees, they were the religious leaders. They were the ones that knew the law backwards and forwards. They were the one that kept the law. They were so particular to keep the law, they would wash the cups. They would wash their hands. They wouldn't do any work on the Sabbath. And they were real careful about everything that they did. But John sees these religious leaders come up and says, "But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" And he didn't hold a lot of regard for them. Why? Because they got into doing things for God, but they didn't have a heart for God. They forgot why they were doing it. Verse number 8, he says, "Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, We have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able to, of these stones to raise up children to Abraham." And to go into that any further is to start a whole nother sermon. Well, we see Jesus walking into this. It said he cometh from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized, verse 13. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? Now, John, he was a cousin to Jesus. John knew of Jesus' coming. And the Bible foretells the coming of John in order to prepare the way for the coming of the Messiah. The Bible tells us that when John was yet in the womb, and his mother Elizabeth and Mary came to visit him, it says that John leapt in the womb for joy. Before he was even born, because he knew that he was by the Savior of the world. He knew that he was near him. And when Jesus comes down, he's surrounded by sinners. But Jesus comes down to the water where John is baptizing them, and John is calling out the sinners, and he's calling for repentance, and he's preparing the way. He's preparing people's hearts. A lot of time a preacher's got to preach, and they say, well, he just preaches on sin. You know, when you're plowing ground, you got to break up the clods. You got to break up the dirt, soften up the heart. And John's preaching hard, but Jesus comes down in the midst of all this, and John's like, you're not one of them. And he says, I have need to be baptized of you because I'm with them. I'm one of them. I'm just here to prepare the way, Lord. And look what Jesus says. Verse number 15, and Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. And then he suffered him. So there was a plan that God had in place, and God walked through, Jesus walked through every step of God's plan. And baptism was in God's plan. Now we see this later, turn over to Matthew chapter 28. And look at verse number 19. This is before Jesus is crucified, and it's right before Jesus is crucified. This is one of the last things Jesus said to his disciples. They've walked with him for 3 years. They've seen him healing. They've seen him performing miracles. They've seen the opposition that he faced. They've seen that he is the very Son of God. When they were up on the Mount of Transfiguration, they heard the voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, hear ye him. And they know that he's the Son of God, and he's given a commandment. He's about to go. He knows he's about to be crucified, and he gives them what we call the Great Commission. In chapter 28, verse number 19, let's step back a little bit for context. Look at verse 16. It said, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And this is all of the disciples. It's not just the apostles, but the disciples gathered around. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. There's a sermon in that. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And he says in verse number 19, he says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And in this great commission, we see discipleship. We see leading people to the Lord. We see baptism that takes place. We have three ordinances in the church. Believers' baptism, the Lord's Supper, and what else? My mind went blank. That is awful. But we see believers' baptism. They go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. We have discipleship. We have baptism. Baptism is the first act of obedience to the Great Commission. Jesus commanded it in Matthew 28, 19, and then he set the example in Matthew 3. Jesus' baptism wasn't just an act of obedience. It was a symbolic act. It was filled with all kinds of meaning. We see some things, and this is for free now. Didn't quite fit in the sermon, but just let me share these little points with you. The water, the voice from heaven, and the descent of the Spirit, the descent of the Spirit all harken back to God's Spirit hovering over the waters and speaking creation into the existence of Genesis 1. In this moment, Jesus is identified as the one who fulfills the old creation by instituting the new creation. Just as God brought order and life out of chaos in Genesis, Jesus is bringing forth a new creation for his ministry. His 40 days in the wilderness echo the experiences of Moses and Elijah, further establishing him as the one who fulfilled the law and the prophets. The dove that descends upon him is reminiscent of the dove sent out by Noah and symbolizing new beginnings after the flood. Jesus' baptism marks the beginning of this new creation, one that he invites us to participate in through our own baptism. To be baptized is to be received into the entire sacred story of God's redemptive plan, a profound gift of the Holy Spirit, whose activity in baptism is frequently emphasized throughout the New Testament. Did y'all follow that? We see the picture. We see God working through his types and stuff. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter number 3. We see pictures throughout the Bible. They're called types. We see examples in people's lives. We see Moses. We see him parting through the Red Sea. We see a picture of salvation, a picture of baptism. When they cross from Egypt, where they were in bondage, they cross through the Red Sea and they come out on the other side, they're free and they're under God. We see kind of a picture, kind of a type of the Christian that leaves the bondage and sin and crosses over into heaven. Over here in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 21, start at verse number 18 for context. Says, "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit," quickened, being made alive, "by which also he went up and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometimes were disobedient when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was a-preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved." And then he paints a picture with Noah. He's talking about Noah. In the days of Noah, there were only eight souls that were saved on the ark. Noah built the ark, and when he came out of the other side of that flood, they were saved. Verse 21, "The like figure, whereunto even baptism doth also now save us." And you stop right there and you say, well, getting in the water, that saves you, right? But Peter says, the like figure, a figure is a picture. It's a type. He says, the like figure whereunto, and then he gives the picture, baptism does now also save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God. Now, Paul talks about the flesh. Remember, Paul talks about the flesh and the spirit. Over in Romans chapter 7, verse 18, he says, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not." While we're here on this earth, we're in the flesh. While we walk around, we're in the flesh. When we sin, we're in the flesh. But when you walk in the Spirit, when you walk with God, when you walk according to his will and according to his way, you're walking in the Spirit with God. That's the righteousness. So when you get baptized, Peter says, it's not the putting away of the filth of the flesh. That's not what takes away the sin when you get baptized. But it's a picture. It's a figure. You know, when you come out of the other side, 2 Corinthians 5:17, when you get saved, when you're saved, you're born again. You heard that phrase. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Now, when we talk about pictures, I thought about this. And I'm going to give my age away. I'm going to give all of our ages away. Let's just be honest about it. Nowadays, people take pictures of everything. They'll do their vacation pictures. They'll take a picture of their new car. They'll post it. I don't know if anybody uses Facebook anymore, but they'll post it up there for people to see. Instagram, whatever. Doesn't matter. They'll take a picture of their car. They'll take a picture of themselves. They'll take a picture of their friend. They'll take a picture of their pet. They might take a picture of their lawn after they cut it. My personal favorite is taking a picture of a plate of food before they eat it. So taking pictures nowadays, people have thousands of them on their phone. Now, I know there's certain pictures that Dee Dee treasures. We've got a picture frame that we'll upload pictures to. And when it started out, just put the grandchildren on there. But the grandchildren are out in Georgia. So that was kind of hurting her. So we loaded up a bunch of other junk onto the picture. But I'm sure just about everybody here has thousands of pictures on their phone as you've taken it one time or another. Mine gets sorted out by date and everything. But there was a time in my life, you go way back, there was a time in my life we didn't have cell phones, we couldn't talk on Zoom. When you were away from somebody, you were away. You could keep in touch by letters, you could keep in touch by phone calls. You had to pay by the minute on that. So when I went into the Navy, I remember getting on that bus. I remember leaving behind my old life. I still remember being on 146 and riding on that bus to go up to the MEP Center where I was going to go to boot camp. And I remember seeing Texas City and thinking, this is my old life and I'm leaving it behind. And when I got to boot camp, you didn't have a lot from home. As a matter of fact, you might get an opportunity to make a phone call, and you better hope they're home when you do it. Because that opportunity passes by. Maybe you were just leaving a message. But I remember seeing my old life behind me. When I was in boot camp and when I was in the Navy, all I had to remind me of home, other than my memories, were a few pictures that I'd brought with me. Or maybe some that were sent to me, and they were precious to me. And I would see those pictures, and I would think about my old life that I'd left behind while I was in my new life. Baptism is a point in time. You look back at it, and you see your old life while you're in your new life. Now, let's see what it's a picture of. Turn to Romans chapter number 6. We read in the Bible, and we know that Jesus died on the cross. At Christmas time and year round, anybody has the opportunity to know about the life of Jesus. They've got movies, they've got books, they've got preachers that talk about it. But you know the life of Jesus, and you know about his death on the cross. And you know about the empty tomb. I remember when I was driving the golf cart over at Moody Gardens, they would replay that story of the nativity and all. But everybody knew about the empty tomb. Everybody knows about it. And you look at Jesus and you see his death, his burial, and his resurrection. But what you may not realize, when you accept Jesus Christ, you died on the cross too. Your old life passes away. When you bury that old life and you're brought to life renewed, and you have the Spirit of God in you. And that's Bible. Look at chapter 6, verse number 1. It says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And this is continuing on from the last chapter. He says, God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Now look at verse number 3, because this is where we're here, what we're here for. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? He said, therefore, and pay attention to this. He said, therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death. He said, the Bible says, we become a new creature. Creature, behold, all things become new. For there to be a new creature, there has to be a death of the old. We are baptized into, and you say, well, this is taking the literal. No, taking the literal would be throwing you out there in the ground. It's a picture that's being described here. a picture that you can look back on and say, you know, this was the transition. When you got saved, this is what happened. When you get baptized, it's a picture of what happened. It says, we are buried with him by baptism into death. When we baptize, you're lowered into the water and immersed. Baptists immerse. And he says, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. And coming up out of the water is a resurrection, being born into your new life. And Jesus did that first. So baptism is a picture of the transformation that took place in your life when you accepted Christ. Just like those pictures from home reminded me of who I was, you can point back. You can look at that and point back to who you were and who you have become. So verse number 4. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism and death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. And look at verse number 11. It says, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So we're to walk in newness of life. When I went into the Navy, I go to boot camp. I wasn't instantly a sailor, but they take you through boot camp and they equip you for what's to come. It didn't mean that you were going to be a good sailor. It didn't mean that everything was going to go good, but they gave you a foundation to build on. Likewise, it doesn't just end at your baptism. It doesn't end at your salvation. Excuse me. But God equips you in your new life with Christ through the Holy Spirit. He empowers you in that new life. When you get saved, you got a long road ahead of you. You're going to have a life of challenges. Getting saved doesn't make everything go right. It doesn't make the bank account swell. It doesn't make everyday happiness. But you know, when I was in the Navy, and I'm stretching these illustrations a little bit, but I remember when I was in the Navy, I remember standing around and griping a lot. And I remember a lot of people complaining about having enlisted. And you look back and you say, well, why did you join? Oh, I thought I'd go to college, or I thought I would do this. Regardless of that, they were now in the Navy. They now had to get up when they were told. They could go to bed when they were told. They had to do what they were told. And they weren't happy about it. But there was one thing, no matter how bad things got, no matter how rough I thought it was, if I had to stay on the ship to get ready for something or the challenges that we would face, one thing I did was I could look back and say, I know why I joined. I know why I'm here now. And there's a reason that I came to be here. And in your Christian life, when you, the baptism, it's not just to fulfill a role. It's not to put numbers on a bus roster. But it's to look back on and remember accepting Christ. And it's done in the heart. When you get saved, God doesn't say, okay, now you're a Christian, you're on your own, just the Navy didn't leave me. I'm sitting here catching up with myself. I feel like I'm teaching a basic Sunday school lesson here. Is that what it feels like? I'm used to going a little deeper, it feels like. That picture of salvation, that empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 8, verses 10 through 11 says, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. When you receive Christ, you're empowered with the Holy Spirit. It's the same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Who should be baptized? Look at Acts chapter number 8. In Acts chapter number 8, we have one of the clearest reasons for baptism. One of the clearest cases. Philip is at a revival meeting and God tells him to go over to the desert. He goes to the desert and he sees one individual riding on a chariot. He sees the Ethiopian eunuch. Verse number 26, and the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. And then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? Verse number 31, and he said, how can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. So we see Philip in the desert. We see the Ethiopian eunuch. All of these things that have been going on in Jerusalem, the Ethiopian eunuch was there and he was returning. And Philip goes up to the chariot. And just at that moment, and this is how God works, just at that moment, when the Holy Spirit leads you somewhere, it's just at that moment. And he says, he sees him reading in the Bible. And he said, do you understand what you're reading? The Ethiopian eunuch says, how can I except some man show me? And he begins to show him in the Bible about Jesus Christ. He begins to show him in the Bible about salvation. He begins to show him in the Bible about sin and how Jesus came to die on the cross for our sins, to give us eternal life. In verse number 32, in the place of the scripture which he said was read was this, he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and for his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or some other man? And then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And pay attention, the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And if you got the new Bible, they don't have the verse 37 in there. But Philip answers him with a requirement for baptism. He says, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And then the Ethiopian eunuch answers him and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Believing in God without faith is impossible to believe God, but believing God comes from the heart. Trusting in Jesus Christ comes from the heart. Nothing you say on the outside is going to matter. Nothing that you do on the outside is going to matter. You say, well, I can clean my life up before I come to Jesus Christ. You're not going to do it. We've sinned. We've broken the commandments. We have a destiny ahead of us. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's a matter of the heart. When you turn over to Romans chapter 10, it talks about believing with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. Romans chapter number 10. Romans chapter number 10, verse number 9. Says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And what's that salvation? It's eternal life. It's a life in heaven after we leave this earth. He says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Not a profession, but a believing in Jesus Christ. What do you believe? That He came on this earth. He lived 33 years. He died on the cross for our sins. He was buried, and then he rose again. And we identify with that death, burial, and resurrection through baptism. In the Christian life, salvation brings joy, but it also comes with challenges. You're going to face times of trouble after you're saved. You're going to face times of loss. You're going to face times of struggle, because that's the way this life is on this earth. People that don't want anything to do with God will blame God because God's not doing, because something went wrong, they'll blame God. Even God's people face struggles. But when they look back at that picture, as they're going through it, and you look back at that picture and you say, I know why I serve the Lord. I know why I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. The reason you can point back to that moment is because you believed in your heart at that moment. You trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. When you walk with the Lord, now you can get backslidden. Because just like the Navy laid a foundation, they said, this is what you need to know to be a sailor. When I got out of boot camp, kind of free. I mean, compared to boot camp. Because in boot camp, they would tell you when to wake up. They would tell you when you could go to the bathroom. They would tell you when you could go to eat. But suddenly, I had some freedom. But they said, this is your foundation. When you leave here, what are you going to build on it? Bible says to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. God gives you the power of the Holy Spirit. He sets you on the path. And what you build on that foundation depends on how close you stay to Christ. You might have a career in the Navy that spans and you become a warrant officer, or you retire, whatever. Or you might not last too long and you get the big chicken dinner. You know what that is? The bad conduct discharge, and you wash out. You don't ever wash out from being saved, but you can wash out in your service to God. You can burn out. But when you reach those struggles, when you stay close to Christ, you look back and you look back at that picture, and you say, you know what? I remember when Christ saved me. I remember my death. I remember my former life. But now I walk in a new life with Jesus Christ, and you bear it with joy. We bear it with joy because we have a hope. Remember why we accepted Christ and hold on to the hope that he gives us, knowing that one day we will walk the streets of heaven. Just as I served in the Navy, I anticipated my day of enlistment ending. We walk through this life and we look forward to that day when we can walk the streets of gold. Turn to Revelation chapter 20. There's two destinations. There's the one where you accept Jesus Christ, and then there's the other. And people will say, well, I'll let my good outweigh my bad. In Revelation chapter 20, verse number 11, it says, and I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire, and this is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Those that were written in the book of life, look at Revelation chapter 21. It says, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And in verse number 4, it says, just read on. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. So baptism is a picture of our death, burial, and resurrection. It's a picture that you point back to and you see your salvation. You show outwardly what took place inwardly. And that's what we're going to do today. And if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, what's stopping you? What is it that holds you back?